The title of today's message is The Devil's Greatest Fear. The Devil's Greatest Fear. What if I told you this? The devil is living rent-free in people's life, and they don't even know it. It's kind of like when I was talking about Peter earlier. They have no idea. The negative thoughts, the negative emotions, the negative patterns, the drawing, it's kind of like it pulls you towards this particular sin. This is not you. This is the enemy just kind of like a bowling ball. I'm just going to roll this right down the lane, right into their life. This is the enemy and the devil's greatest fear, listen to this, is that complacent believers will wake up. See, believers oftentimes, they're just asleep. What do I mean by that? They believe in God. God is there. You ask them, do you believe in Jesus? Yes. Do you believe in God? Yes. Are you a Christian? Yes. But they're asleep. What do I mean by that? Their heart is cold, and they think, watch this, they think that the status of their life, the struggles, listen, the struggles in their life have nothing to do with Satan. It's just how their life is. And the devil's greatest fear is when you back up and go, hold on a minute. This isn't right. That's the devil's greatest fear. I have a daughter, she's 11. I have three. I got one 20-year-old daughter, a 17-year-old son, and an 11-year-old little girl. And my son and I, we were out late last night. We call it a daddy bubby night. We call him bubby when he was 6 months old. When he's 79, we'll call him bubby. He's bubby. And we went out last night, and we were just having fun together. We got home around 11 o'clock. We're just hanging out. I walk in, and to no surprise, Allie's sleeping, and who do you think is sleeping right next to her? Kate. We call her Bug. She'll be Bug till she's 57. Bug is in the bed. And I'm looking at her. I was like, I would let you sleep in the middle, but I got a big day tomorrow. I'm going to be getting up. You're out. You're going to your bed. Bug, wake up, wake up, wake up. She wakes up. I says, it's time to go to your bed. She's like, okay. And she's walking like this, right? And I'm guiding her. She didn't walk right into the wall. And so she's walking. I get her upstairs. I tuck her in. And she's just like falling down. She's like, and she looks at me. She goes, good night, mommy. And I was going to say, I'm daddy. And I was like, no, she's sleeping. She's not here. Right? She's not here. She has no idea what's going on right now. The enemy's greatest fear is that you just walk around believing in God and you have no idea, no clue. You think your life is bad just because that's life, and then you learn to live that way. No. Watch this scripture. I want to read it to you. This is in Mark chapter 1, verse 23. And immediately... there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Hold on. Where were they? The synagogue. What's a synagogue? A church. There's a guy with a demonic spirit in church. Unclean spirit. And he, watch this, this is, if you read it slow. And he cried out, what have you to do with us? If I say to you, God, what do you have to do with us? Who, amen? Who's talking here and who's us? You got a mouse in your pocket? No. What do you have to do with us? Jesus of Nazareth, have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. There are demons talking through him. Demons, S. What do you have to do with us? There's demons in him. Jesus says, be silent, come out of him. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. Watch this. This is so cool. Jesus has this authority. And then watch what he does with this authority. Next, the Luke verse. Perfect. Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. Behold, watch this. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. What does he do with this authority? He says, I love you. You can't see the devil. It's not like you can walk up to him and punch him in the nose. You can't see him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the same authority I have to cast out any demon in your life. Now, I got three major points, then I'll be done. First one is the authority that's given to you. The second one is what's gripping your heart. And the third one is when spirits, they vanish. Now, the authority is when God gives it to you. Now hear me say this. Your promotion, you cannot be promoted to authority. You inherit it. Let me say it again. You cannot be promoted to authority. You inherit it. You cannot do good things when you sense there's a demon in my life. There's a demon messing with me. I don't want to be depressed. So why am I depressed? I don't want to be down. Why in the world are doors of opportunity opening for everyone else, never for me? I want them to open. God wants them. I think I'm fighting a demon. There's a spirit. The enemy's greatest fear is that complacent Christians will wake up and use the authority that they've been given. It's not a promotion. If you haven't prayed in 97 days, that doesn't mean you don't have authority, because you don't get promoted to authority, you receive it. High school football games, high school basketball games, I go to them all the time because my son is a student there. My daughter, who is in college now, she was once a student there 2 years ago. And one time I went to go see Luke play basketball. This was a couple years ago. I walk in, and the lady, everyone's like, $8 to get in, $8 to get in, $8. And I'm like, these kids are not that good. You shouldn't be asking for $8. But anyway, $8, $8, $8. And then there was this lady sitting there. And I walked up and she goes, and what's your name, sir? And I said, Frankie Mazapika. She goes, Mazapika? Do you have a daughter named Presley? I said, yeah. I knew her when she went to school here. Sir, you're never going to pay for anything ever again. You're going to just walk in here and let me know you're here and you're going in. I knew your daughter. Your daughter's awesome. You're getting in for free. So, when I show up, I've never been to the high school. I've never turned in one assignment. I've never been to class. I have never shown up and went to, I've never done a test. I haven't done anything ever at that school. I just happen to have the right last name. That's it. I wasn't promoted. You, sir, have been awesome. You're never going to pay again. No, I just happened to have the right last name. Guess what? You just have the right name in your mouth. It's the name. This inherited authority. If you haven't prayed, if you haven't worshiped, if you haven't done these things, you may feel a little bit of distance and you need to close the gap. You want to have a closer relationship with God. But even still, the name of Jesus causes these evil spirits, just they're gone. They're out. They're gone. Aren't you happy about that? Come on. Point number two, what has a hold of your heart? This guy goes to church. To church. But listen to me. Whatever comes upon you, whatever captures you, whatever spirit captures you, has arrested your heart. Whatever spirit. When I gave the example earlier of being so angry at that person, bitterness captured my heart. Captured it. And do you think I thought that it was a demon straight off the bat? No. I'm like, God, you can clearly see that they are idiots. You can clearly see that. You're around them more than I am. You can clearly see they're idiots. The thought of there's a demon never crossed my mind. But the spirit of all of a sudden, the spirit that you entertain is the spirit that captures your heart. You're entertaining it. Have you ever noticed that Cinnabon is always on a corner? When you go to the food court in a mall and there's 12 restaurants, Cinnabon is always on the corner. It's never in the middle. And why is that? Because they want the smell of a Cinnabon to go both ways. So when you come home, I'm glad you're here, but just hold on, but stay there. When you go to Lids to buy a hat, or Abercrombie, what's a girl, a chick store? You go to Aerie, whatever that is, but the ladies come out of Aerie, or James Avery, or whatever, and you're walking down, and you're like, oh, my God. They arranged that. You think that you just all of a sudden wanted a Cinnabon? You didn't want one before you smelt it. They arranged that before you ever got there. They were like, we're going to go both ways on this one. Do you know when you go to Disney World, they got a fan of some sort. Thank you, Corey, for telling me about this. They got senses that they blow out, like between trees and around restaurants, and they blow out out of like bushes. They blow out this scent. And so when you're walking around, you have no idea. You're like, this place is like heaven. This really is a magical place. You know what? I feel like eating cotton candy. You didn't feel like eating cotton candy until they started blowing that up your nose. They capture your attention, and what do you do? I was not cotton candy. When you go to the rodeo, what's that thing called when they put the powder on the thing? What? Funnel cakes. Nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, you know what I want? I want to pound me a funnel cake today. No, nobody does that. But when you walk into the rodeo, it's like, I'm going to get me one of those funnel cakes. And you get halfway through it and you're sick to your stomach. And you're like, why did I get this funnel cake? Because they lured you over in what you entertain. That's what I'm trying to tell you, is the enemy comes along and just puts these bread, trail of breadcrumbs. And all of a sudden you wake up and you're mad, you're depressed, you have no hope. Everyone say hope on three. One, two, three. Hope. Say it real loud. One, two, three.
Hope.
This is what hope means. Hope means that you are on the edge of your seat with expectancy. You just have this suspicion that God's got something really good coming up. Now, if you don't have hope, you don't think anything good is coming. Good God. You don't think anything good is coming up. You think you're stuck and your life is going to be like this forever because you have no hope. Now let's all remember everyone's favorite scripture. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Not to hurt you, not to harm you, but they're good. To prosper you and give you hope. I'm gonna put hope. No, let me take that word out. I'm gonna take an expectancy and I'm gonna put it in your heart so that you know something good is coming. You don't know what it is, but it's in there. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, and I'm going to put hope in there so that you are expecting it. You're ready for it. But if you take hope out, you don't think God's going to prosper you. You think you're stuck in this spot, and you're going to be there forever. So the enemy comes along and takes out hope, and you think that's normal. No. It's not normal to feel like you're stuck. The enemy's greatest fear is that complacent Christians will wake up and go, hold on a minute here. This is not right. Last point. You have two weapons and two weapons only. The name of Jesus and scriptures, the word of God. Those are the only two weapons you have. You don't get anything else. Two weapons. When your voice says the name of Jesus and your lips speak the word of God, evil spirits vanish. One name. Jesus. Is anyone here, there's probably about half of you, statistically speaking, where you're laying in bed and all of a sudden you freeze up and you feel this evil spirit and you can't move. And you're like, you know in your head, you know in your spirit, just get Jesus out and I'll be okay. And you're like, Jesus, and then all of a sudden, you're free. Now wave at me if that's ever happened to you. Come on. Look at these hands all over the place. Now wave at me if you're lying. Put your hand over your head and say, yeah, that's happened to me before. Go ahead. Okay. There's all over the place, like 25% of the room. That name Jesus is all of a sudden, your spirit knows it. The enemy's greatest fear is that complacent Christians will not be awakened. When Spencer's driving down the road, she's about to get into a wreck, and she's driving, and then what does she shout? Jesus! She doesn't go, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. No. Have you ever been driving down the road and something happens? You're like, Jesus! Jesus, help me! Your spirit knows. I mean, I do it before I'm going to get in a wreck or when I'm on the highway and I come over this hill and I see that stupid white car with the lights. Jesus, no! Jesus, no! What rises up? It's in here. Your spirit knows it. The devil's greatest fear is that complacent Christians will be awakened. And you start saying the name of Jesus 79 times a day. Smith Wigglesworth, you can play now, thank you. Smith Wigglesworth, one of the greatest ministers to ever walk the planet, says, I rarely pray for 20 minutes, but 20 minutes doesn't go by without me praying. The enemy's greatest fear is complacent Christians will awaken and walk through their life, Jesus, 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 Jesus. How many of you use ChatGPT? No student raised their hand. Never cheated. Never asked ChatGPT to write an essay for me. Next week, I'm going to preach on lying. Get on ChatGPT, get on Google, and type in, what verse can I use for this situation? And memorize that one verse. The enemy's greatest fear is that complacent Christians will wake up. Let's all stand to our feet for me, please. I'd like for all the prayer partners to come down. If you're new here, you may wonder why, if you've been here, you've been going to church your whole life, sometimes you just kind of like, yeah, prayer partners are normal. But if you're new here and you're like, why are you got prayer partners down here? Because sometimes you're too weak to pray for yourself. Sometimes you just need someone to pray for you. That's why they're here. And if anything that I talked about today resonates in your heart, and you're like, I want somebody to pray for me, they'll say that name, Jesus. And so in a minute, not now, I want you to come down and take the hand of a prayer partner and let them pray for you. But also, let me ask this question. If your heart were to stop beating in the next 5 minutes, are you 100% sure you know where you'd spend eternity? 100%. And if you're not, I want to encourage you in a minute, not right now, to come down here and take someone's hand and say, I want you to pray for me. And I want you to think like you're the only one in this room. Because a lot of times people won't come down and pray for someone because they're embarrassed, or pray with someone. The Bible says this, if you're ashamed of me in front of people, I'll be ashamed of you when I see you. And so I want to encourage you to come out of your seat and pray with somebody. And if all the prayer partners are already praying with somebody, we got ushers at the bottom of the aisle, and they'll point you to the first available person. There's no official dismissal. You can leave whenever you get ready, but let's sing this song one time through before anyone goes. May the Lord bless you. May He keep you. May His face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May His countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.